This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Just a few weeks ago, Sir Elton John was honored by Prince Charles, appointed to the prestigious and exclusive Order of the Companions of Honor for his work in music and charity. You might expect something like that to be a crowning achievement on a career spanning over five decades and countless other awards, but it still somehow feels like Elton John, at 74 years old, is just getting started. He recently scored his first number one chart ranking in 16 years, thanks to a song on his latest album, The Lockdown Sessions. That record sees him working with some of the hottest names in pop, in Americana, and in rap music, along with some lesser-known acts. You'll feel Elton's genuine enthusiasm and awe for all of those artists when he talks about them today. We will chat about being inspired, finding musical chemistry, and you'll hear a bunch of songs from The Lockdown Sessions. Elton John, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's so great to have you. The new album is called The Lockdown Sessions, and some people might hear that title and think, oh, this is going to be a somber collection of meditations on solitude, but it is not like that. It is much more like a big party that you're having.
It is, yes. It's an album that came together through happenstance, really. I had no visions of doing anything musical this year whatsoever, and it all came together by people asking me to play on their records, really. And that's what I used to be before I became Elton John. I was a session musician playing on He Ain't Heavy Is My Brother by the Hollies and various other things and learning my craft. And so I got asked to do Surfaces, Metallica, Rina Sawayama, Gorillaz, Little Nas X, Glen Campbell, and years and years. And I just thought, I have probably half an album here, and I love doing it. It was taking, I was doing the Little Nas X track and the Glen Campbell track the same day at Abbey Road Studios in London. And 54 years prior to that, I was playing piano on The Hollies, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. It's the same studio, the same staircase, the same desk with the stuffing coming out of it. And I just thought, you know, this is kind of neat. I've come full circle. And I really like playing and on these people's records and them telling me what to play and what to sing.
We're going to dig into a whole bunch of those songs, how the album came together. First, just because you mentioned it, let's play just a little bit of The Hollies, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, so people can remember that.
The road is long, with a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where.
That was a bit of The Hollies, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. Elton John was a session player on that. He's my guest today. His new album is called The Lockdown Sessions. Take us back to right when the pandemic hit in March 2020. You had to postpone part of your farewell tour. When you got home and suddenly you had, you know, nothing to do, where was your head at?
You know, I've never spent so much time at my house in Windsor ever because I'm only here for 3 or 4 weeks and then I'm going somewhere else playing or doing something. And so David, my husband, and my two sons, Zachary and Elijah, and myself, we just spent a lot of time together. And it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it so much. It made me think about my life, think about what I wanted to do in the future. And how I enjoyed being in one place at one time. I actually saw my daffodils grow. I did spring, summer, autumn, winter, and spring. And I've never, ever done that before. So I got to revisit my house again and fall in love with it and fall more in love with my husband and my children. And I found it to be really deeply satisfying. I know a lot of people found it to be really, really difficult because they live alone and it was really, really hard on people. From my kind of point of view, we didn't go anywhere. We never went outside the gates except maybe to the dentist, and that's it. So, and during this time, I got offered chances to play on records.
I mean, eventually you did go down the street to see your neighbor, Charlie Puth, right?
Charlie Puth happened in 2020. I came back from Australia. My last show was the 7th of March in Australia, 2020. I came back to Los Angeles, and that's when lockdown started, when COVID really started happening. And I met Charlie Puth in a restaurant, and I'd never met him before. And we got on very well together, and he said, we found out we live four doors away from each other in LA. He said, well, if you're doing nothing, I have a studio. If you'd like to write something, I said, I'd love to. So I went up to his house and wrote a song, After All, which is on the album with him. And then the next day I was asked to play and sing on Surfaces, which was called Learn to Fly. And that was next door at my music publisher's house. So that was the first kind of track that I played as a session musician. I did it via Zoom. It was the first thing I'd ever done via Zoom.
You've played on hundreds, maybe thousands of songs. How did you adapt to that?
It was a little strange at first, but the thing about playing on someone else's record is that you have to lose your Eltonism. And, you know, I play in a certain way. And people will say, well, can you play it a little simpler? Can you do it like that? And you have to do what you're told. And I quite like that, and only if people know what they want. Now, Surfaces are two young guys from Texas. They knew exactly what they wanted me to play on the piano, and they knew exactly what, well, I suggested some ideas vocally, and they either said yay or nay. And it was really colossal fun, and I actually enjoyed it. And consequently, when we came back to England, I did Gorillaz on Zoom, I did Lil Nas X on Zoom, I did Metallica on Zoom. So I got used to the Zooming thing. And thank God for it, because otherwise, you know, this album wouldn't have happened.
Well, let's listen to the first one you did on Zoom. This is Learn to Fly, Elton John and Surfaces on World Cafe.
All the broken people, put your hands up high. If you lift them up, you might just touch the sky. All the lonely people, put your hands up high. If you loosen up, you might just learn to fly. All the highs and the lows and the way it all goes, you can't let them keep you down. If you're lost, if you're broke, if you're stuck on the road, you can turn it all around. 'Cause we gotta trust in love, something that can't be touched. A feeling to lift us up, all in the name of love. All the broken people, put your hands up high.
That was Learn to Fly, Elton John and Surfaces. It's from Elton John's new album, The Lockdown Sessions. Elton John's my guest today on the show. The first time that you listen through this album, I mean, at least for me, you have no idea what's coming next. It's impossible to classify the genre of this album. In 2021, Elton, has your idea of what an album is supposed to be changed?
I don't know, because I haven't made one for such a long time. This is just like an interim thing, and it's not really like an artist album. And an artist will make an album of 10 to 12 songs or maybe more. And I think, from my point of view, by doing this kind of album, when I make an album again, I will try and make it a little bit more varied and explore other territories. And I certainly love working with all the producers that I work with on this record. And it gave me an idea for when I do make another album. And I have the lyrics already for another album from Bernie Taupin, but it will have to be a little bit more different and a little bit more modern. I think this album pushed me towards modernity rather than, you know, I can make an Americana Elton John record standing on my head, but this one kind of pulled me towards doing something a little different. And I think when I do make an album, hopefully it will sound a little bit different to other Elton John records.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of how we listen to music on streaming services almost, where you might hear a metal song beside a rap song, beside a pop song. Like, how do you think about genre?
Well, I love all sorts of music, and I'm a fan of all sorts of music. And so there's so much different signs of music on this. I mean, it starts with Dua Lipa and the kind of dance record of Cold Heart. Then there's The Surfaces, and then he goes into Young Thug and Nicki Minaj, which is totally different to anything I've ever done before, and I loved it because I wouldn't know how to make a rap record or a trap record. And so my producer, Andrew Watt, who did that track, kind of pushed me towards doing that, and I love doing that.
Yeah, I wanted to dig into the Nicki Minaj and Young Thug track that you did because I am curious, what do you learn from working with artists who you know work in a different genre primarily than you're known for?
Well, initially that song was written on the first day that I went to Los Angeles, or the first day in the studio, and I didn't like it very much. It was too much of an Elton ballad. And I went in the next day kind of a little bit forlorn, and Andrew Watt said, listen to this. And he took the chorus and put it at the beginning, and then he put the trap beat down, and he said, listen, I was astonished. I said, that sounds so much better than the song that I wrote, but it was still my song. And then Young Thug, who I know very well from Atlanta, because I've met him in there, and he lives in Atlanta, happened to be in Los Angeles. He came down and freestyled on the track. And, you know, rap music isn't – I have no idea how to make it. But when you listen and you see people just freestyling in front of a microphone, it's quite awe-inspiring, and it's quite illuminating. It's a totally different genre to couldn't be any further. If I'm on the North Pole, it's in the South Pole.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. And then when he'd done his bit, we really wanted a woman to answer it, and so we got Nicki involved. And I love, it's one of my favorite tracks because it's so out of my comfort zone and totally out there as far as people listening to Elton John. A lot of people will hate it because they love Elton to be Elton, but I love it because it stretched me, and it was I watched people making my song into something different.
Well, we have to hear a clip of it right now. Here's Always Love You, Elton John, Nicki Minaj, and Young Thug, World Cafe.
I will always love you, even when I say I don't. I will always see you, even when my eyes are closed. I'm certain of somebody tell her, somebody come pass an umbrella. I had to tell her, I had to take the call past the teller. I bought you Gucci, baby, make my jella. You can't get a new one, he won't be better. Straight to the top and don't need no propeller. Oh, I've been all eyes out with the fellas. Take me back, I can put you in control if you take me back.
That was Always Love You, Elton John with Nicki Minaj and Young Thug. From Elton's new album, The Lockdown Sessions, I'm Raina Duris. It's World Cafe. You said how this album is sort of a compilation of all the kinds of music that you like. You listen to so much music. You're into a very wide range of genres. On your Apple Music radio show, Rocket Hour, you're a big supporter of new music. I know, as a radio host, my desk is covered in CDs. My inbox is overflowing with new releases. The amount of new music every week can be kind of overwhelming. So from one radio DJ to another, what is your listening routine? How do you find that music and narrow it down?
Well, Apple send me a list of all the new music coming out every month. It's like 4 pages or 5 pages of new music. Also, the major record companies send me their new releases. But I also write down other things that I've heard, other artists that probably wouldn't be included on there, albums that I know are coming out, and I write them in my notebook. So I've got a whole, by the time my husband and I sit down and listen to the new songs, you know, it's we have a wide range of things to choose from. And it's gotten to the point where I used to play a lot of old music as well, but there's so much new music that's good that I'm kind of playing less and less old stuff and more new stuff. And I love that. I've done over 6 years in a row now. And it's led me to meet and have on my show new artists, promote them, become friends with them, give them exposure. And it fills me with energy because I know all the old stuff. I know it back to front. It's all in my little computer up there, and I love it so much. It inspired me. That's why I'm here today, because of the old music. But the new music is the future. And when you hear someone with a lot of talent that may not necessarily get on a radio playlist because it's not commercial enough, then you, but it's really good. You have to promote that.
What makes a new artist compelling to you? Is there a feeling you get?
Yeah, you can tell. I've been around for a long time, as you know. And when you hear something different, and there's a girl called Dora Jar, that's not a name, that I just played on my new radio show from California, that has something so special about it, you just know that she's going to be popular. And it's so different, and it's so intriguing. Billie Eilish is a huge fan of hers. And you can tell the difference. You can, you know, there are lots of people who you may play one record of, but then there's another person you may follow them through. There's a guy called Jake Wesley Rogers, who, as I've played every single thing he's ever done. He's a gay musician, a songwriter, singer, who I think is going to be huge. And so the good ones keep going. Some of them maybe just make one record. But you can tell the ones, you can tell the cream rises to the top. And I've been around enough to know my ears are good enough to spot things that are great.
Just for fun, let's play some Jake Wesley Rogers right now. Here it is, World Cafe.
I didn't ask to melt to the floor. I didn't ask to even be born. Both those happened when my eyes met yours. I don't remember life before I asked. I hope it's worth dying for.
World Cafe, that was a bit of Jake Wesley Rogers, a favorite of my guest today, Elton John. Your new album is called Lockdown Sessions, and a lot of people are jumping on the next song that we're going to hear from your new album. It's doing very well in the UK and in the States. So first of all, congratulations. What can you tell us about working with Dua Lipa and Panao on Cold Heart?
Well, Panao I've worked with before because they're an Australian band, or a duo, now they're a trio. Nick Littlemore, Peter Mays, and now Sam Littlemore. And I went to Australia on tour years ago, and I used to go to the hotel, have a shower, then go to the record store, like Virgin Record Store, which is, of course, not there anymore. But I used to buy CDs of all the local records. It's because new music that I would never have heard. And I got a Panao record, and I played it back in the hotel. It blew me away. The next day, I had coffee with them. I told them they had to leave Australia, come to Britain. And we've known each other since then, and they've grown into Empire of the Sun, Panao, and they made an album called Good Morning to the Night, which was, I gave them all my master tapes and said, you can do whatever you like with them. And they don't make mashups. They take bits of my song and they make them into a new song. And that's exactly what Cold Heart is. It's Sacrifice, Rocket Man, Where's the Shirah, and Kiss the Bride. And so we had this track come to us from Panao early on. And I thought it was great, but I thought we needed someone else on it. I really didn't want to sing the Rocketman part. And so last year we got to know Dua Lipa because she did our Oscar party for us virtually. And I got to sing with her. I got to meet her, got to hang with her. And we became friends. And I adore her. And then she was in Los Angeles when I was recording with Andrew Watt. And we took her to dinner, and I said, listen, we have this track. David, my husband, said, listen, you're renting a house in Malibu. We need another vocalist on this, but we think you're the one to do it. But if you don't want to do it, it's fine. But when you play it by the pool and play it loud. So she went home, and she called us, and she said, I'm by the pool. I'm playing it loud. I'm in. And she did her vocal in Los Angeles. To be honest with you, it's a huge, huge record, but it wouldn't have been as huge without her on it.
It's such a fun song. And I mean, it's made even more fun by, you know, getting to try to listen for all those bits and pieces of other songs of yours. If you are listening to World Cafe right now and you happen to be by a pool, play it loud. It's Cold Heart. For now, Dua Lipa, Elton John, World Cafe. Cold, cold heart. My guest today, Elton John, along with Dua Lipa, Panau. That song was Cold Heart. It's World Cafe. That song is from his new album, The Lockdown Sessions. You know, you work with a lot of people on this album. It kind of seems like you could work with anybody at this point. How do you establish chemistry with somebody that you haven't worked with before?
Well, I hadn't worked with Stevie Nicks, and I hadn't worked with Ollie Alexander, S.G. Lewis, hadn't worked with Surfaces. Most of the people on this album I've never worked with before.
Yeah.
Practically everyone, I think.
How do you get comfortable doing that in a studio when you're collaborating for the first time?
Well, you strike a camaraderie, you show them respect, you know, I'm pretty easy to get on with, and they are too. And you just, I don't know, it's just a pleasure when musicians get together and they talk, and then they shoot the breeze, and then they get just to perform. That you inspire each other, and I've known Brandi Carlile, for example, for 18 years, and I played on one of her albums 18 years ago, and we've become lifelong friends to the point that, you know, she comes on holiday with her, with us, with her wife and her kids. So singing with her is not a problem because I've known her, but none of these people are a problem at all because they're talented.
Right.
And they know what they want. You know, it all comes down to talent and confidence.
You know, you mentioned Brandi Carlile a minute ago, and I had her on the show recently. She told me a story from when she was a kid where she was competing in singing contests that were run kind of like pageants. Girls would sing Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey. She was inspired to do something else, and I'd love to play this clip of her from the show talking about it so you can hear it.
One time I saw Elton John singing Honky Cat live somewhere.
He said, get back, Honky Cat, better get back.
And he just looked so joyful, and he had like a white suit on and these big feathered glasses, and it was, you know, ba-ba-ba-da, and there was a little yodel in it, and I was like, that's my act. Next time I enter one of these things, I'm doing Honky Cat. And when I told my mom that that was my plan, she was just like, bummed, because it was just a contest that, you know, it's like, if you won, you got $10,000 and a scholarship to a music school, and I was obviously not going to win with Honky Cat, but she realized how important it was to me, and she bedazzled the white suit from the clothing mission with rhinestones and sequins, and we bought some boat shoes, and she put an E and a J on each shoe and made me these big feather glasses, you know, out of pipe cleaners and stuff, and yeah, I went out there and totally died, but it was a pretty pivotal moment of expression for me, and I thought I was pretty awesome while it was going down.
Now, you guys are good friends now, so you've probably heard that story, but how does it feel to hear a story like that?
It's really inspiring and touching, because you forget you influence people. I don't rest on my laurels, but when you hear someone as talented as Brandi talk like that, it makes you feel great, especially because we are friends, and we are such good friends. We're kind of interlocked. It's great. You don't go around thinking, oh, look, I inspired him, I inspired that. You just do what you do, and if other people like what you do, it's a huge bonus. I mean, I've always been influenced by so many people. For example, on the album, I do a song with Stevie Wonder, who is one of my idols of all time, and it's one of my favorite tracks on the album, and maybe one of the most favorite tracks I've ever done. So when you get Stevie in the studio and you see him play the harmonica, and it's not just a harmonica, it's a, you know, it's an amazingly, looks like a big sandwich. and you hear him sing and you hear him play, you have to pinch yourself, because, you know, he is one of the greatest musicians and songwriters and singers ever. Plus the fact he's one of the great humanitarians. So, you know, I have to pinch myself sometimes when I'm in the company of those sort of people. Because basically I'm still a fan. And I think that's why I still love music so much. And I carry on doing what I do. I'm still a fan. It's just lovely to be in the company of greats like Stevie Wonder.
Right. Because I would imagine, I was going to ask you this, because when you do call up a band that you really love for your radio show, or you found that you're like, I want to work with this person, or you have somebody like Brandy meet you and be in the studio with you who really admires you, do you feel like you have to live up to something? What is it like working with someone who admires you so much?
Well, of course, with Brandy Carlile and Stevie Wonder, for example, they're the most brilliant musicians and singers and songwriters. So, you know, if I've got to sing with them and write with them and do something, I've got to come up, I've got to rise to the occasion. It's not, you know, they to me are on my bucket list of people I would love to work with, and I work with them.
I'm going to play your collaboration with Brandy now. Is there anything we should know about the song Simple Things before we hear it?
It was the second song that I wrote. It was the first song I wrote. And I wrote the melody, and then Andrew Watts, lyricist, her boyfriend, had this poem, and I had a stack of lyrics that Andrew gave me. And it's a poem, really, and it's about what's meaningful in life and what isn't. And I just wrote, I thought the lyrics were so beautiful and so meaningful and so simple and direct that it kind of reminded me what I was going through in lockdown and what I was thinking about the future. And it all coincided with my thoughts on my life going forward. And so it was just easy to do.
Here is Simple Things, Elton John, featuring Brandy Carlile on World Cafe.
When you find chasing dreams is the finish line recedes, and the riddle stays a riddle, all the humor's bittersweet. All nature does is dance, so when you dance you're in accord. Look no further than the feeling that it gives you for reward.
Elton John with Brandy Carlile, song called Simple Things on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, talking with Elton John today. We are going to close out in just a minute with a song from the album that you did with Stevie Wonder. And you said, you know, you've worked with Stevie before. This is your first official duet you've ever recorded together. Why did it take so long for you guys to do a real duet together?
We've been friends for a long time. I think he played harmonica on, I guess that's why they call it the blues. He came up to Caribou Ranch when I was recording just to hang out. We've flown together. We did That's What Friends Are For with Dionne Warwick and Gladys Knight. But we've never done a duet together. And when I wrote this song, and it was an unusual size, the Charlie Puth song on this song, I wrote the melody first. Now, I am not a melody first person. I've always written to lyrics. I get inspired by the written word. But for some reason, I wrote the Charlie Puth song from start to finish and this song from start to finish right off the bat. Andrew Watts, our lyricist, did the lyrics, and I just said, God, Stevie would be amazing to play harmonica on this, and he agreed to play harmonica on it, and then he came in and played piano on top of my electric piano, and then we put the choir on, which is Kanye West's choir.
Right.
And then I said, you know, we need someone else to sing on it, and Stevie has to sing on it, please, and in the end, he agreed to sing on it, and for me, it was so moving. The track is just so uplifting anyway, because I love that sort of music. It's an old kind of soul song with a gospel choir singing, and it's about redemption. But Stevie, for me, sang like he did on Uptight, like he was a teenager. And that's what I was playing the straight man on this track to Stevie Wonder. And he just blew me away. And he's just the most wonderful, soulful, kindest man. And it just, you know, my bucket list closed then with doing a duet with Stevie. He's just, you know, whenever David and I go away, we always, we have a little apartment in Venice in Italy. Whenever we've come in, it's a two-people apartment, small, and we always play songs in the key of life as a ritual when we get there, because he's made so many great records. And to do this with him and to hear him sing and play, and it's astonishing. I mean, I still can't get over it, actually.
It's Elton John and Stevie Wonder, Finish Line, on World Cafe. Finish Line, Elton John featuring Stevie Wonder from Elton John's new album, The Lockdown Sessions. A couple of times during this interview, you mentioned your thoughts about your life going forward. You know, you were in the middle of your farewell tour when the pandemic hit, but this album also feels like there's, I mean, not just a reinvention, feels like there's a million different reinventions going on at once on this record. What are your thoughts about your life going forward right now?
Well, I've got so much energy as a result of doing this record, and having a hit helped, you know, having a hit with Dua Lipa and having a huge hit. You know, I am of a certain age, and it's very thrilling to be in amongst other people in the charts. And so it's not rejuvenating me, but it's given me a different thought on life. It's in the sense of what I'm going to record next. But when I was thinking about what I wanted in my life during lockdown, I said this is my last tour. It's now going to finish in July of 23 because we've had to postpone dates, and I've just had my hip replaced, so we had to postpone some more dates. I don't want to tour anymore. I've been touring since I've been 17 years of age. I will have nearly two teenage sons. And a husband. I will want to make music. I will do radio shows. I will write, but I don't want to schlep. If I'm going to schlep, I want to schlep with my son and my husband. And I will obviously, if people ask me to do a charity show here and there, I will do it, but I'm not doing concerts in a row. I don't want to do it. I've done it. And I'm going out in the best way possible with the tour, which I love, the Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, which is the best thing I can do. And I don't see really, I owe it to myself for the latter part of my life to do something different. And that's what I want to do.
I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what's next from you.
And yeah, who knows? No one, listen, a year ago, if you just said I'd have an album coming out, I said, yes, absolutely crazy. So you never know. The door is always open to new ideas coming through. And so I'm full of beans. My hip's doing really well. I'm rehabbing great. You know, who knows what's going to happen? I had a phone call in 1990 something from Tim Rice saying, you know, I've been asked to do The Lion King by Disney, but they say they want you to do it. And they said, Tim said, I want you to do it, but they said, you'll never get him. And I said, are you kidding me? I'd love to do it. So that phone call from Tim changed my life, changed my career. You never know. You never know. And that's what life is. If you're open to things arriving in life, and not just musically, but, you know, personally and everything, I think it's just wonderful. And I'm at the stage of my life where I am so happy, so contented, and so thrilled to be still have as much enthusiasm as I did when I was 17, that I'm a pretty lucky man.
Well, no matter what you do next, I can't wait to have you on the show to talk about it. Elton John, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Rena Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.